This is part two in a series called Midlife Mixtape, rocking out to the soundtracks of our middle years. If you are somebody who has heard of all the stereotypes of a midlife crisis, we're going to debunk those, and we're going to be looking at this as a different time of life. Now, you might be wondering, am I in midlife? Well, you're going to find out inside the episode. So come on in and let's talk about this episode's soundtrack, The Eye of the Midlife Crisis. Welcome to Life Repurposed. This is where midlife meets inspiration, practical guidance, and renewed purpose amid life's evolving chapters. We navigate faith questions and messy, uncertain twists with humor and a commitment to pursue treasure, even in the hard stuff. I'm your host, Michelle Rayburn, the author of books and Bible studies about finding hope in the trashy stuff of life. When we hear the term midlife crisis, it often conjures up images of flashy sports cars, questionable fashion choices, and impulsive decisions. We're quick to label some conflicted feelings about aging as a crisis, but I'm more emotionally stable now than I was 20 years ago. Those raging PMS hormones from my 20s and early 30s were far more unpredictable than what I'm experiencing now in menopause, dare I say it. As I settle into the middle age stuff, I don't see it as a crisis. A crisis might be defined as a disaster, a calamity, or a catastrophe, but it can also mean a change. It can mean a corner, the culmination, or a crossroad. So when you look at all the dictionary definitions, it can mean multiple things. But I think the picture that comes to mind when we think about midlife and a crisis is often the first things I was saying there: disaster, calamity, catastrophe. What if I told you that a midlife crisis isn't about making rash choices or clinging to our youth? What if it's about finally finding the courage to speak up about the things that matter most to us, even if we've been silent for far too long? What if it didn't have to be a crisis at all? It can be a time to settle some things in our thinking and arrive at a peaceful place. It's a time to take that calmer demeanor that we might have achieved through maturity and apply it to something meaningful. So before we get into that, let's talk about what is midlife. We talk about being in those middle years. Well, midlife is a stage of life that doesn't really have a specific numerical age attached to it. It's commonly associated with middle age, which spans from around the late 30s to the early 60s, but the exact timing can vary greatly from person to person. You might not want to take the label midlife, and that's okay. You don't have to. The experiences and the challenge associated with midlife are highly individualized. They can occur at different times and in different ways for each person. So you do you. One of the reasons why midlife doesn't have a specific number on it is because it's more of a developmental stage that's characterized by the psychological and emotional changes we go through rather than a precise age range. We don't know how long we have to live. We don't know how many years, like, am I in my own midlife or am I like in my later years? I don't know God's plan for my life. So when we think about it, these changes can be influenced by a variety of factors, including our life events, our personal circumstances, and then there's always the cultural or societal expectations that come along with it. So midlife is subjective, can be influenced by how you perceive your own aging process. For some people, it can represent a time of reflection or reassessment and growth. And for others, it might be marked by feelings of discontent, uncertainty, or here's the word, crisis. It's also important to recognize that midlife isn't a one-size-fits-all experience. While some people may navigate this stage of life with relative ease and what appears to be contentment, others may struggle with a range of challenges, including career transitions, relationship changes, existential questioning, or even just a problem with the number as those ages continue to tick upward. Ultimately, midlife is fluid. It's a dynamic stage of life that defies any rigid characterization or definition. So I'm not really here to define it for you. Again, you do you. This is a time of transition and transformation, and it can unfold differently for each person. And so that's why it's difficult for me to give a specific set of criteria or prescribe exactly what you should do in your own life. But this is part of a series. I've called this series Midlife Mixtape, rocking out to the soundtracks of our middle years. And each week in this particular short series, I'm giving the title, the episode a title based on a famous 80s song, because I graduated from high school in the late 80s. And so this episode's track is called The Eye of the Midlife Crisis. I want to take you down a journey a little bit and just looking at some reflections you can do if you're wondering, am I in the middle of midlife and is this a crisis? Viewing midlife as a crisis rather than an opportunity can actually lead to a variety of negative consequences where we miss the true beauty in what's happening to us. And so I'm going to be challenging your thinking a little bit this week and flipping it upside down a little bit. I'll be right back with the rest of this episode after I share this resource with you. In marriage, breakdowns, meltdowns, and blow-ups aren't a big surprise along life's road. There will be moments when you haul yourselves back to the relationship garage for repairs. But like a trusty old truck, your classic marriage has lasting value. In the book Classic Marriage, you'll find inspiration, honesty, and humor from the front seat of 30-plus years of adventure with my husband Phil and me. We share our story along with tips to get under the hood and keep your marriage going for the long haul. Work on your communication with the tune-up questions in every chapter, plus Phil adds his witty commentary and pop-up comments throughout the book. This multi-award-winning Christian marriage book has been endorsed by many top relationship experts and counselors. Learn more at classicmarriagebook.com. Now back to the show. Seeing midlife as a negative crisis can trigger feelings of stress, anxiety, and overwhelm. And instead of embracing change, it might cause us to resist it, which can lead to heightened feelings of uncertainty and fear and just kind of keeps on snowballing into more stress. Sometimes when we see it as a negative thing, it prompts us to dwell on what we perceive as missed opportunities or unfulfilled dreams. Maybe the thoughts of it's too late to make a change, so why bother? This can lead to feelings of regret and dissatisfaction with the direction that your life is going in. And so a lot of this is a mindset. That mindset can hinder personal growth and development. Rather than embracing new experiences and challenges, if you're stuck in your comfort zone, you're going to be afraid to take risks or even pursue your passions. Again, with that idea of why bother? It's too late. The stress and uncertainty that comes along with viewing midlife as a crisis can strain our relationships as well. Those are with family and friends and coworkers. It can affect our communication, maybe even causing it to break down. Maybe we withdraw, we become defensive. It leads to conflict and tension. So if we only focus on the negative aspects of midlife, we may overlook the opportunities for growth, for renewal, and self-discovery that this stage of life can offer. Instead of embracing change and exploring new possibilities, we might remain stuck in a cycle of fear and stagnation. Overall, viewing midlife as a crisis can limit our ability to navigate this stage of life with resilience, adaptability, and a sense of purpose. It's important to recognize that midlife is not a predetermined crisis, but a natural and valuable stage of development that presents opportunities for personal and spiritual growth. And that's why we're talking about it on Life Repurposed. We can take a different perspective on our thinking and discover that a lot of repurposing can happen in this phase of life. So instead of a crisis, let's look today at midlife as a crossroads. I'm just choosing this word, so if you don't want to see it as a crossroads, that's okay. But if you find yourself in crisis mode, I want to encourage you to consider these ways of breaking out of that mindset. First, embrace change. Instead of fearing change, view it as an opportunity for growth and renewal. Embracing it allows you to explore new possibilities and experiences. Our house is quieter since the kids left home. I don't have the commitments of driving kids all over the place. That has freed up room for some new things, even though the change of having them leave has left some sadness in our lives as well. The second thing that I encourage you to do is reflect on your values. Take time to reflect on what truly matters to you. Identify your core values and use them as a guide for making decisions at this crossroads in your life. Maybe you're rewriting the story on this, and that's okay. The third thing that you can do in the middle of this is to set new goals. Now, we often think of setting goals when we're in high school and thinking about what we want to do when we grow up and what are we going to do with the rest of our life. But we aren't always thinking about midlife. This can be an opportunity to set new goals and aspirations, whether it's a career change, a new hobby, a personal challenge. Any of those can give you new goals and give you a sense of purpose and direction. You now have maturity that you didn't have when you graduated from college or graduated from high school. My goals are less flashy and more solid now. They don't really have anything to do with building a new home or driving a ridiculously fancy car or anything like that. They're different. They're more mature. And so I'm actually excited about setting goals in this part of my life even more than I was before, because I've conquered a lot of those what ifs. You know, how many kids are we going to have and what are they going to be? Are we going to have boys or girls? All of those things. That part of my life is a different phase. And now I'm looking at different goals that are not related to parenting really at all. They're related to, what do I really want to do with my life? What impact do I want to make on this world? One of the other things I encourage you to do if you're in the middle of wrestling with feeling like this is a negative phase is to prioritize self-care. When you focus on your well-being as you navigate a transition like this, it really gets you in a better place. Take that time you need to nurture your physical, your mental, your emotional health, and don't hesitate to seek support from loved ones or professionals if you need to. It's okay to speak up for what we need. I've learned to prioritize a relaxed Sunday afternoon at least 3 out of 4 weekends. Now, sometimes there are family things and I want to hang out with the family and those happen on Sundays or on the weekend. And so that Sunday afternoon isn't always watching Hallmark or reading a book or eating chocolate. Sometimes it's being with people, but it really is a priority that if I haven't had that the week before, that the next week is going to be a relaxing one. And that's just the self-care that I prioritize. Another thing that I encourage you to do is to celebrate your accomplishments. Reflect on your past accomplishments and celebrate how far you've come. Recognize your strengths and achievements and use them as a source of confidence as you move forward. It's so easy to get focused on the next thing that you don't celebrate how far you've come. And this includes looking back with a focus on gratitude too, looking at the people who were part of all of the accomplishments in life, and also not always looking at what we didn't do, but what we have been part of. There's like a sense of satisfaction that comes with knowing that even though those goals that I did have when I was 21 and just graduated from college, you know, having those not fulfilled, some of those were things I really didn't need in my life anyway. And now I can look back with this focus on gratitude and say, thank you, Lord, that you had a different direction. That really wasn't where I was supposed to go. And I'm so grateful for the direction that my life did go in. The next thing that I encourage you to do is stay open-minded. Maybe you have met somebody who has passed beyond midlife and they seem really set in their ways. You know, when we get into those older years, not only do we not like change as we grow older typically, but the ideology of the people around us can sometimes sound scary. It's just moving so fast-paced and going in directions that make us feel as if like all the values of our youth are gone and crumbled. And I encourage you to stay open-minded. Approach this crossroads with an open mind and a willingness to explore new opportunities. Be receptive to change and growth, even if it means stepping outside of your comfort zone. I want to be set in my ways because it's sometimes thinking is just too hard. And so deep down inside, I just want to be set in my ways. Nobody talk to me. Nobody change my mind. I don't want to listen to the news. I don't want to read anything. But when I say open-minded, it leaves room to learn from others. My views are still changing even when I resist change. And so for me, just being open to listening to other people's perspectives, even the ones that kind of scare me, I really learn something. It may solidify something I've always believed, or it may actually lead me into a place where I realize I don't think that way anymore. And I think there's a change about to happen here. The last thing that I encourage you to do during this time as you're standing at this crossroads is to stay present. Instead of dwelling on the past, which is different from celebrating the past, or worrying about the future, focus on living in the present moment. Let go of all those societal expectations or pressures to conform and embrace your authentic self. God made you for this moment. Midlife is the time to embrace your uniqueness and not care what others think. And if you've been inhibited your whole life, when you stay present right now, you start to observe things about yourself and you learn. You might have innovative ideas that you never thought about before because you were always thinking about the past or worrying about the future. And there's a sense of contentment that really comes with being in the moment. As we journey through life and we accumulate experiences, we gradually peel away the layers of all the societal expectations, the external pressures that once dictated our choices and actions. We've been out of our parents' homes for long enough that they're probably not influencing us in the way that they once did. And with each passing year, I've become more attuned to my inner voice, more grounded in my values, more authentic in my expression. Have you noticed this too? This process of self-discovery and self-acceptance is a natural part of maturing, and it allows us to step into our own power with a newfound sense of confidence and clarity. And whenever I talk about stepping into our power, I want you to understand that I always see this as stepping into what God has planned for me. When I think about the power, it's what He has equipped me for. And so self-discovery is also discovering His plan for my life. As we shed the expectations of others, it's like removing heavy burdens from our shoulders. We no longer feel the need to conform to society's standards or to live up to other people's ideals. Instead, we embrace our true selves, and that could be the quirky, the imperfect, the beautifully unique individuals that we are. This authenticity is both liberating and empowering, and it allows us to live life on our own terms, free from the constraints of external judgment or approval. It also means feeling more comfortable with how God uniquely created us. For me, it's also part of it, like the physical appearance has changed. I have things about my own face that I can no longer hide. I have age spots. I have wrinkles. The freckles, well, those are the age spots, have changed. There's some gray around my temples, and I can't really hide the fact that I'm changing. And so for me, that's actually been kind of empowering. It's been a way of saying, well, I don't have to pretend to be anything. This is who I am. So take my face, take my thoughts. It's all me. So if you haven't yet reached that place of feeling that comfortable, I encourage you to peel off some of those layers and to remove the pressures of what you need to be like, the ones that other people put on you. With this newfound confidence comes a sense of liberation. It's a freedom to chart our own course and pursue our passions with unwavering determination. We don't need to allow fear or hesitation to hold us back. Instead, we embrace that uncertainty as an opportunity. We can grow and experience adventure in the middle of that uncertainty. So if it's starting a new career, traveling to far-off destinations where you've always wanted to go, pursuing a long-held dream, encouraging somebody else on their dream, coaching, mentoring, we can approach life with a sense of curiosity and courage, knowing that the possibilities are still endless. It is not over. Perhaps the most profound aspect of this journey is realizing that true happiness comes from what God is doing in and through us. We don't need to seek validation or fulfillment from external sources. Instead, we cultivate this deep sense of contentment and peace that radiates from our core. This inner strength allows us to weather life storms with grace and resilience, knowing that we're capable of overcoming the obstacles that come our way. We've already overcome a lot of them, and we've seen God show up. And so there's this confidence that comes in knowing He's here with me, and He wants to still continue doing a work in me. Listener, if you are embracing your true self and living life on your own terms, I applaud you. Your journey of self-discovery and empowerment is an inspiration to us all. Remember, you're worthy. You're enough. You're deserving of the happiness that life has to offer. And I'm not talking about this in the sense of salvation. So if you're questioning my theology, I just want you to know that this has to do with your goals and what you're pursuing. Somebody else does not get to say whether or not you're worthy of pursuing that. Somebody else does not get to say whether or not you are enough. You and God have established this path for you. Embrace your authenticity, embrace your freedom from conforming, and embrace the beauty of being exactly who you are. When you think about, when I talked about judgment and criticism, when you think about that, I want you to ask yourself, how many times have I found myself silenced by the fear of judgment or criticism? How often have you dimmed your own light, afraid of shining too brightly or stepping outside of the box? I've wrestled with these things too. There are times where I wonder, should I step back? Should I say something? Should I dim my own light because I don't know how the others around me are going to perceive me? Throughout our lives, we've been conditioned to prioritize the comfort and expectations of others over our own desires and passions. Most of my listeners are women, and so you have been in a place where in your marriage or as a parent, you have learned to prioritize the comfort and expectations of your spouse and the other people in your life. And many of us have hesitated to speak our minds. We're afraid to rock the boat or cause conflict. Now, my husband would probably say that he would be shocked that I would say that I would be afraid to speak my mind. But even though we have a fairly open relationship and the way we converse with each other, there still are some times when we don't say the things that are on our minds. If that's you, if you've let opportunities slip through your fingers because you've been paralyzed by the fear of failure or rejection, or if you're a rule follower, then you know what I mean. As we journey through midlife, something remarkable begins to happen. We start to shed the layers of self-doubt and that insecurity that have held us back for so long, and we begin to realize that life is too short to be lived in fear. The only thing that's holding us back is ourselves sometimes. With each passing day, we get this newfound sense of courage and conviction, and we're emboldened by that realization because eventually we get to a place where we realize we have nothing left to lose and we have everything to gain. Now, I'm not talking about spouting off and telling people off here either, because we do have something to lose if we destroy relationships. So, you know, there's another side to every coin. And so we could probably use this kind of thinking to justify just about anything. But we're going to be thinking about this in the sense of positive influence. Imagine if in this stage of life, we embraced every moment with a sense of gratitude and wonder, where we no longer took our experiences for granted, and instead we learned to savor the richness of life and revel in the joy of self-expression. Whether it's pursuing a long-lost passion, speaking our truth, or simply being present in the moment, we can approach life with a sense of enthusiasm and vitality no matter what age we're at. If you're navigating the waters of midlife with courage and resilience, I commend you. Embrace that self-discovery and self-expression, knowing that you're worthy of the opportunities and the joys that life brings you. As you live every day with intention and purpose, you honor not only yourself, but you inspire others to do the same. I wonder sometimes, why do we seem to come to a crossroads or a crisis, whichever you feel as if you're experiencing, somewhere around age 40? Perhaps it's the most tender realization that comes along with the awakening of that reminder of our own mortality. We reach this pivotal stage in life where we're confronted with the undeniable truth that our time on earth is finite. And this realization serves as a powerful wake-up call, an urgent reminder to stop coasting through life on autopilot and start living with intention and purpose. I think, you know, coasting up to that point, I just kept telling myself, I have all the time in the world to do these things. And then reality is, wow, I have a limited amount of energy. I can physically do certain things. Now is the time. I don't want to wait. For too long, many of us have been content to simply go through the motions, allowing those days to blur together in a monotonous haze, whether you've allowed fear or complacency or the pressures of life to dim your passions, You stand with me at this threshold of midlife. You have an opportunity to break free from this cycle and reignite the flames of your innermost desires and rediscover the beauty of being alive. In addition to thinking about dreams and passions and goals, this midlife awakening is also a call to rekindle our faith. It's a recognition of where God is in our everyday life and a reaffirmation of the belief that there is meaning and purpose to be found in every moment, but how we live that out might change. As we get a little older and we're more distanced from our parents' beliefs, midlife can be a period of introspection and reflection that extends to our religious beliefs. Questioning long-held beliefs during this stage can lead to a deeper understanding of our Christian faith as we dive into scripture and we explore theology with renewed curiosity and openness. This process of questioning allows us to take personal ownership of our faith journey. It fosters authenticity and resilience in the face of doubt and uncertainty. And if you've wrestled with this idea that any kind of questioning, you know, you've shoved it down all these years and I'm not going to deal with that, you know, maybe you learned 30, 40 years ago in Sunday school that doubt was a sin or something like that. And then you were like, well, I'm just never going to express any thoughts of doubt. I encourage you to embrace the complexities of faith and confront the challenges to your belief. You can cultivate a stronger and more mature faith that's rooted in personal conviction and trust in God when you ask the questions, when you explore the things that have always made you wonder, when you look at the traditions that are all tangled up in scripture and you wonder, wait, where was that in the Bible? Don't be afraid to ask the questions. This questioning and exploration also fosters compassion and empathy toward others who may be struggling with their faith. It creates a supportive and understanding community of believers. If we're all trying to pretend that we have no questions and we're all trying to pretend as if we have it all together, then we're not being our authentic selves, and we don't really know each other intimately. Ultimately, examining our long-held beliefs in this midlife stage can be a transformative experience that deepens your Christian faith and strengthens your relationship with God. So don't be afraid of it. I was so afraid for a long time. I felt restless, and I was afraid that if I asked the questions, it would mean I was somehow losing my faith. I have not lost my faith. In fact, dealing with that restlessness has changed my connection with some of the faith traditions and the mindsets I've held for a long time. But ultimately, it hasn't been a faith crisis, but an opportunity to grow. And so I encourage you in this time when you're thinking about midlife, it's okay. It's okay to ask the questions, and it doesn't mean you're having a breakdown or a midlife crisis. Now, let's get personal about your personal life. No, we're keeping this PG, so no worries there. But midlife is also a call to reignite your passions. And by that, I mean to rediscover the activities, hobbies, and pursuits that bring you joy and fulfillment. Whether it's painting, writing, gardening, exploring the great outdoors, this midlife awakening brings out the urges that we've had to reconnect with the things that make our souls sing and our hearts soar. And maybe it's something that we just have always said, I don't have time for that. But it's so important for us to see this as a reminder to embrace the beauty of being alive, to fully immerse ourselves in the richness and complexity of the human experience. That means savoring the simple pleasures of everyday life, from the warmth of a sunrise to the laughter of our loved ones, the time with people, the snuggles with our spouse. It's about finding wonder and awe in the most unexpected places and then cultivating a deep sense of gratitude for the gift of life itself. I love to just sit by the shores of Lake Superior. It's why my husband and I go there for our personal getaways at least once a year, where I can just sit and watch the waves and just revel in that beauty, because it's something that stirs up a creative energy in me. It draws me closer to God, but it also draws me closer to my husband. And so all of that creativity, it doesn't have to be artistic. It doesn't have to be painting. Sometimes it's just appreciation for what we see around us. Now, we probably all know someone who has become more cynical with each passing year, and I want you to know that doesn't have to be you. I have met people that are so cynical that I would say they have been in a very long and prolonged crisis. And that crisis really is like this internal battle within them. It's almost as if staying angry is the only way to deal with life. Like, just if I can look at it negatively, I don't have to look at my real feelings about something. But that doesn't have to be you. If you're edging closer to midlife, and remember, there's no magical number on that, would you join me in committing to live with intention and purpose? Would you join me in seeing this as a crossroads, a place to make some decisions and decide which direction you're going to go, but not necessarily a crisis on the verge of a meltdown? Each day is a precious gift. Approach it with a sense of wonder, curiosity, and gratitude, for in doing so, we not only honor the beauty of being alive, but we create a legacy of love and inspiration that will endure long after we're gone. It's possible that you might be only halfway through your earthly journey. What will you do at this crossroads to make the second half of your life the best half? Thanks for listening to Life Repurposed. Would you like more? Check out the Life Repurposed magazine on Substack and get resources, weekly musings, and conversations with others. Just go to liferepurposed.me.